You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it
does. Amen. Well, let us put our hands together. And with Jesus' joy, let us invite Sister Henrietta Ariel. Amen.
I long to feel your presence. I long to know your power. Fill me now with more of you. Oh, I long to feel your power. I want to know your way. So won't you please come and fill this place? I need fresh oil from you. Cover my life with your dew. Rain down refreshing anew from above. I need your presence today. Please come and show me the way. Shower down your rain upon me. Make me more and more like Jesus. Have your way in me, so that the world may see. You are the potter, I am just the clay. So make me and mold me completely into what you want me to be, and I'll be changed from glory to glory. Cause I need fresh oil from you. Cover my life with your dew. Rain down refreshing anew from above. I need your presence today. Please come and show me the way. Oh, shower down your rain upon me. Make me more and more like Jesus. Cause I need fresh oil from you. Cover my life with your dew. Rain down refreshing anew from above. I need your presence today. Please come and show me the way. Oh, shower down your rain upon me. Make me more and more like Jesus. I need you to shower down your rain upon me. Make me more and more like Jesus. Oh, won't you please shower down your rain upon me? Make me more and more like Jesus.
Hallelujah! Amen, amen. Make us more like Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, amen. We are here, we are here. I hope you have enjoyed what you have received so far. Amen? Amen. Amen. But the most powerful moment of the service has arrived. Amen. God says he will send us, hey, pastors that are for his own heart, hey, to give us knowledge and wisdom. Amen. By the grace of God, we have a shepherd to stand in the midst against the wolves. Amen. To intercede. We us to your feet and welcome our shepherd, our pastor, Reverend Cujo Orleans Lindsay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow. Why don't you rise to your feet and let's sing. And
faithful God, so loving and true, those who know your name put their trust in you. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me. Oh, how I love. Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. If you are excited to be in the presence of God, if you have an expectation, if you believe that God is reaching out to you, then let me see you give the Lord a shout and a wave and a clap all at the same time. Amen. Well, this morning I'm excited to be in the presence of God. Anytime that God's word is coming, I know that his blessing is coming. Because the Bible says, when there was no creation, he spoke his word and the world came into being. Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and two things combined. And today, those two things are coming to you. Bible says he sent his spirit to move on the face of the deep, and he spoke and he said, let there be, and there was. These two things, these two big, apart from the Father, the other thing, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit came together. And anytime there's preaching, they come together. The Father Amen. Spoke. The word came through. And the Father, the Spirit moved on the face of the deep. The Father spoke. And the word came forth. These three combined anytime there's preaching. Today, something is going to change your void. It's going to change your emptiness. And it's going to reconnect you and refill you. God will recreate something. And the earth that was without form, God gave it form. Form is coming to your life. Structure is coming to your life. Rebuilding, reconstruction. Tell somebody, I'm under construction this morning.
I'm under construction this morning.
You know, when you go to a construction site and the manager comes there and the supervisor comes there and the owner comes there, something is about to change. Something is about to change. And we are the construction site. When the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come together, always there is a transformation. That is why the Bible says, receive the word of God, which is able to save your soul and to give you a place amongst the sanctified. Okay? It's very important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we come into your presence. Your word says when we have fellowship with one another, and actually, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son. Let that combination be strong here. Let that triple phase effect impact us. And let the Trinity manifest themselves together here. We bind every work of Satan. We pray that every place in our lives that has seen darkness, that has seen emptiness and void, Lord, you will reconstruct and you will bring a new thing, do a new thing in our lives. Give us that supernatural buildup in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together again and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Take out your notebook, take out your pen, take up your pad, take something that tells the Lord, I'm serious about this reconstruction. Tell the Lord, I am a construction site. So, you know, don't pass me by.
Ask your don't pastor, pass me by.
I am connecting to your construction. Anybody
Amen.
Who is serious, nothing will change. But if you're serious, as the three are coming together, something will change. You know, let me tell you something. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, it says that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Amen.
They are one. They are united. When they come together, anytime they're preaching, remember this. Remember that the Father has sent his Word. The Word is coming, and Jesus Christ says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Yeah. So the best place to receive a constructive impact of the Lord is under the preaching. I'm telling you honestly. And anybody that's why Sunday mornings are the times that the devil bombards you the most with sleep, with I'm tired, with oh man, I am your most carnality comes on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, Christians.
Firstly.
And a lot of Christians they come because, well, it's time to come rather than with faith. Change that attitude from today. Change that attitude. Don't let the devil bombard you with mistakes, with excuses, with headaches that if you were going to work, you would have gone. But oh, it's church, let me sleep. Don't let the devil bombard. For example, you've turned on your video because you want to lie in bed, and within a few minutes, you fall asleep. He's at work. I am directly shooting the arrows of the word against his exploits. Yes. And today, God will reconstruct that marriage that is about to break, that academic, that grade that you're about to fail, that finances, those finances that you have, that job that is shaking almost to the point of being lost. God will put it together again.
Amen.
So sit up and wait for the construction. So there are three that bear record right here on heaven. Heaven, they are the Father, the Word, which is the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. But then verse 8 says, there are also three that bear record on this earth. On this earth. And they are again, the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is there again. The water and the blood. And these three again, they agree in one. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to know is that the commonality between heaven and earth is the one and only Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, God the Father does not operate on this earth without the Holy Spirit. God the Son is interceding for us in heaven, seated at the right hand of God interceding. The only person that actually moves back and forth, that has usefulness for us here on earth and in heaven, and that will make our lives supernatural, is the Holy Spirit.
Unfortunately,
he's the one personality that we don't mention in the church. We mention God the Father, we mention God the Son, oh Jesus, but we never mention the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, today I came to tell you that it's a mistake. It's a mistake. It's the biggest mistake that the devil has given to us. You see, it is important for you to interact with the Holy Spirit. It's important for you. You must as much speak about the Holy Spirit like you speak about Jesus. In the same way, you must as much speak about the Holy Spirit like you speak about God. But ask yourself, what is the proportion when it comes to the names of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? How often do you speak about the Holy Spirit, or do you mention him, or do you even call on him, or do you talk to him? It's a mistake.
Wow.
Because God himself said, there are three that bear record in heaven. And he says, it's God the Father, God the Son, which is the Word, God the Holy Spirit. Heaven. All right? Now, on this earth, the witnesses are God, the Spirit. It's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The water and the blood are the evidence of God visiting us when they pierced Jesus Christ's side, water and blood came. But the Spirit of God will always be communicating here on earth and up in heaven. He's the one that makes our lives supernatural. When you say somebody is a spiritual person, you are essentially saying the person is relating with the Holy Spirit enough to be different, to be supernatural, to be extraordinary. Now, the Christian life is supposed to be an extraordinary life. The Christian life is supposed to be a supernatural life, okay? Now, it can only be supernatural through the agency of the Holy Spirit. It can only be extraordinary through the agency, the agent of supernatural Christian life is the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let me explain to you what does it mean when we say something is supernatural. The dictionary says a supernatural life is a life relating to or being above and beyond what is natural.
Beyond what is natural, wow.
Yeah, for example, to be married to one woman and to stick to that woman for 25 years is a life above the natural. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The truth. For example, for you to be married and stick to one person. For example, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover without medicine is a supernatural life. For example, to pray a prayer and get a response is a supernatural life.
Amen.
Yes. You see, what our brother was talking about the COVID, in somebody, number one, he's elderly. Number two, he has, I don't want to mention all the disease. We all know that he has a stroke. We all know that he has a blood pressure. We all know that he has a kidney disease. We all know that, I think, a blood sugar and all those things. All these by themselves alone are what we call the conditions that when you have and you get COVID, you must die. He had them all. He had them all. But here he is. Standing here as a testimony, it's a supernatural life. You will live a supernatural life in Jesus.
Amen. I receive it.
So it's a life that is lived beyond and above by the grace of God. We want to thank the Lord that none of our sheep has perished in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you will not. You are not about to be the next one. You are not about to be the only one.
Amen.
Amen. This COVID will come and go, but you will outlive COVID. And Jesus
said, amen.
I said, we will outlive this disease.
Amen.
All the children, let me tell you something. All the children that are about to go to school, don't go with fear. I've gone through every home, and I am joining hands with them and praying with every family personally. Our pastors, that's what we've been doing over the weekend. If we have not come to your house, it's because you are not reopened. Those who are reopening tomorrow, we've come, we've prayed with you. That God will deliver you and cover you with the anointing, with the Holy Spirit,
amen.
With the blood. And if you're there like that and we haven't, call our attention to it. Call your shepherd. I want to come personally, or Sister Ariel, or Pastor, one of the pastors. We want to come and pray with you all. Nothing is going to be taken by chance.
I mean, amen.
Granted. Yeah, because you're going to be covered as you're going in the name of Jesus. It's a supernatural life.
Yes.
Live beyond and above the natural, unexplainable by natural law, by science, by phenomena, and if even going to be called abnormal.
Hey,
wow.
A positively abnormal life.
Hey.
I said a positively abnormal life.
Hey. Yeah. Keep preaching.
Go to a place. For example, I went for the interview, my interview, and I didn't have. You know, I didn't even know that I didn't have what it took to get that position. I was in that program, that what made me a gastroenterologist, for 6 months before they recognized, hey, this guy is not a citizen of the United States, and this program is for citizens. It was too late. What did my boss have to say? My boss then said, well, we should just now rewrite the whole thing to include people like him.
Wow.
It's a supernatural life.
Amen.
It's a supernatural life. So, ladies and gentlemen,
ministry.
That is how it's supposed to be. And today, I just want you to know that what my topic for you is the presence of God. The supernatural, the presence of God is the Holy Spirit with us.
Wow, I love it.
The presence of God is the Holy Spirit with us. The presence of God. You can call it how to live the supernatural life. Yes. Supernatural life. I'm talking about the presence of God. How it manifests. Okay. Now, let me say this. The Bible says in Zephaniah, I don't think some of you have read the book of Zephaniah before. There are a few of you who don't even know there's a book like that called Zephaniah. Okay, it is. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Now, what does this mean? Put that in the scripture. When God is mighty, he is not mighty by himself. God standing in heaven is not mighty. Well, you don't feel the might. It's only when he comes in your midst that you see, how mighty it is. How mighty it is to have God. So God is just like the Bible. The Bible has no power except when you read it. It's just like money is just paper except when you purchase something with it. Okay? Yeah, that's what it is. A human being is of no help except when you call the person to come and help you. God is of no might. The mighty God, you say, don't just sing about the mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty. What is that? The Lord God is only mighty when he is in the midst of thee. When you bring him in, when you incorporate him in your everyday life. That is why I like that book. That scripture, John 1 verse 14, I believe it is. He says that, you know, the word, that's Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among men. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Do you know what that means? The word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus Christ was in heaven. No power. We never felt the power of Christ, the power of forgiveness, until he was brought to be in the midst of mankind. And he was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is when we started seeing, wow, our life could be more glorious. We beheld his glory. The glory in such a way that only the begotten Son of God could have brought that kind of glory. There is an aspect of your life that is supposed to shine to bring the Shekinah glory of God that you can only explain it by the presence of God. Amen. Nothing else can explain it. As I stand here, when you look at my background, when you look at my parents, my family, nothing can explain where I stand except the grace of God, the presence of God in the midst of us. So we need to behold the glory in your life, the beauty in your life, the shine, the Shekinah, the sparkle comes only when the word or God, in this case, you see, God, Jesus has done his part. God has orchestrated things in heaven. He has sent Jesus Christ to come on earth. He, when he came, he dwelt among us. He was made flesh. He dwelt among us. That is how we beheld his glory in such a way that only he can do it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was the one who did it, who made our life supernatural again. What Adam and Eve lost was restored through his blood. Now, when he left three things that bore record. He left the water, the blood, and the spirit. I'm telling you.
Wow.
These are only three things that can affect your life. He left the water, the blood, and the spirit. The water is the word. Bible says, being cleansed by the washing of water by the word. The blood is the blood. That is what cleanses us and makes you and I acceptable. Because of the blood, we can access God. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He is the only one. We take communion. We do Holy Ghost baptism. We read the Bible. But the one aspect of the Trinity on earth here is the Spirit, which is the one who is the one that we have actually left behind.
Mercy.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if we do communion, remember, have you done anything about the Spirit as well? If you do water baptism or the Holy Spirit, you have to then ask yourself. So today, what I'm trying to do is I am trying to bring our minds back to the God who is mighty in our midst. The God in the midst of us is mighty. But he has to come into the midst of us to show his might. God is in heaven. Jesus Christ came, but he left his Holy Spirit. And if we interact with his Holy Spirit in the midst of us, okay, in the midst of us, you see, you can have spices unless you can put it in the midst of the fish. You won't taste the spices. The fish will be tasteless. Yeah. You can have all the salt, and if the salt is by itself, and you don't cause it to permeate and to marinate well in the fish will get spoiled. And then Christian, our lives are being bombarded, left with being spoiled, just because we have not allowed ourselves to be marinated by the Spirit. So we are not spiritual enough. We are not the strong people that we are supposed to be. But today is changing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said today it is changing in the name of Jesus Christ.
It's changing.
Okay. Now, how do I know? And let me share with you a few scriptures. All right. Jesus Christ, God promised to be with us all the time when Jesus Christ came. God sent us Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ had to leave. But before he left, he actually made a promise. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now watch this. And I, verse 16, will pray the Father, and he will bring you another helper or another comforter that he may be with you for some time. Right? Is that what he wrote? No. Bring the scripture back. That he may be with you for a short time.
No.
That he may be with you for most of the time.
No.
That he may be with you when you are young, but when you are old, he leaves.
No.
That he may be with you forever. Forever. Jesus was here for 33 years. 3 of the years were ministry. The others were growing up. But he left without the Holy Spirit who will be with us forever. And then it goes on in the next verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You know, the world cannot be affected by the Holy Spirit. Just like salt can be put, spices can be put in fish, but cannot be put in wood. You cannot spice up wood with spices. No. It's just not the nature. Okay? So, he said, this is a spirit of whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be inside of you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is the replacement personality of Jesus Christ on earth. Yes. When Jesus left, the only condition that God gave him, when you are leaving, Jesus Christ was told by God. God said, God has said that when I come, I cannot go. I will not leave you comfortless. Yes, I like that. The next verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 18. I will come to you. I will not leave you. In fact, another version, I think it's Amplified or something. It says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. Orphans. Yeah. I will not leave you as orphans, without comfort, desolate, bereaved, fallen, helpless. But I will come back to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in spiritual form with us. He is the God in the midst of us. He is mighty. And a Christian is only mighty when the Holy Spirit comes in the midst of his activities. I never go a day without mentioning the Holy Spirit. I never do it. It's dangerous. Recently, they even brought me a case. You know, I'm working in a new place now. I go around in Indiana. All the doctors there, 3 doctors last year, they left for some problems, whatever it is. Now, all of the doctors apparently had tried to do a procedure on a patient that has never been done. Yes, because it's so difficult. Last week I was there, and then they brought me a patient. They told me, they warned me, hey, nobody has been able to do it, so you can decide to opt out. But the person has been cleansed and prepared for me to do the procedure. What you going to do? So I just said that I had to decide, should I or should I not? And it's almost like a setup to say he's nothing. I said, no, God is not going to be disgraced. So I took on the case and I took an adult scope and I did it. I could not go anywhere with the scope. I stayed, and then I said, you know what? Bring me a child scope. They were wondering, what is this guy going to do? Even adult scope could not do him. What will a child scope do? I said, it doesn't matter, bring it. Just like David, who used just a sling and 3 shots to kill Goliath. I told myself, today, God will be glorified. And I started singing. Look, I sang the Holy Spirit into being. I brought him. I said, look, we are in this together. Yes. I sang, Jesus, we are depending on you through the Holy Spirit. That was my song. I took that little scope as I put it. Ladies and gentlemen, believe me, within 2 minutes, I was at the end to the best. Not that I've gone through. Everybody was shocked and awed. And it was almost like that it was the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God in the midst of us is mighty. But he's not mighty unless he's in the midst of us. Unless we incorporate him. We incorporate his spirit. He's here in the spirit form. He's here as the Holy Spirit. And any Christian who is not in the spirit, who does not connect, relate, interact with the Holy Spirit, is not a powerful person. You will not see God's might. That's why we call it the anointing. The Lord our God in the midst of us is mighty. The emphasis is not even the Lord, is not even the might, is in the midst of us. That's what I'm talking about today. Because you know enough about God. You've heard enough about the mighty God, the might of God. But what you have not heard enough, what you have not done enough of, is in the midst of partly. That I'm saying again, it's English. The midst of usly. Is what you haven't done. Yes, you have done the mighty, you have been the godly, but the midst of Ashley has not been manifested in your life. The Lord God, you have called him as Lord, you have made him thy God, but you have removed in the midst of us. Ladies and gentlemen, when somebody is on the left, another is on the right, they have to meet, and there's a bridge. You have to believe that the bridge is important for that connection to happen. Yeah, so God and his might don't seem to come together because the bridge which is bringing him in the midst of us is removed by most Christians.
Yeah, what a word.
It's removed by most Christians.
You're preaching good.
Yeah, the Lord thy God is what I hear. He is my God. He's my king. I hear that all the time. He's mighty. He's great. He's awesome. He's wonderful. You've sung it. You've said it. You've proclaimed it. But you have not brought him in the midst of us. Just like I was scoping, I brought him. Holy Spirit, come along. Let's partner together. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the presence of the Holy Spirit comes to us in 3 different forms of interaction. The 3 modes of in the mistly. How does he come in the midst of us? 3 ways. How does the Holy Spirit come in the midst of us? 3 ways. 3 interactive ways that the Holy Spirit comes in the midst of us to convert our God's power into might in our lives. 3 ways. 3 ways. Are you ready?
Yes.
For the 3 ways.
Are we ready?
I think we should end here next week, then we can do it.
Oh, no.
I even forgot. Just by the way, next week, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not preaching, but guess what? Apostle Joel, our Bishop of North America, is coming. He has accepted to come, and so next Sunday, you cannot miss it for all the rice in China. My pastor, your pastor, the Bishop of North America himself, he's not just for the whole North America, he's coming just for our church. He's going to be zooming in with us. He's going to be ministering to us. That man is anointed. Eh? He's taught me for all these years. He solved my marital problems. You know, I don't like to, you know, when your the wives are bringing problems, then we bring the pastor.
Yes.
When the wife
wives are bringing problems.
Yeah, when the wives are bringing, you know, men are very peaceful. Men are very peaceable. Please don't tell my wife I said this. I'll be in trouble.
A1.
Amen. So tell somebody, point to somebody on the screen and say, next Sunday, come early. Come with some. Invite somebody.
Next Sunday.
Look, next Sunday, I'm talking about the next Sunday, not next Sunday. The next time we have a service on Sunday, it's Apostle Joel who's going to preach. You will be the most unfortunate person, most pitiful, if you're not here. Hey, I can't wait for that bombardment of wisdom, of anointing, of word, of mind. You see, the same way that the Lord our God in the midst of us is mighty. When you get the bishop to come in the midst of us, we are raised to the bishop level. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. So it's very important for us, and we need to make sure that it is we're all here so that it will be a blessing. And don't come alone. Invite somebody. And look, next week, try to come early, dress up. See, this kind of behavior that you behave towards me, you've almost treated me like your brother. So you, when I say come on video, you don't come. Don't bring those problems, I beg you. Dress up well, come, turn on the video, let him feel at home so that he'll come again and again and again. If you are the reason why he doesn't come again, the way I'll spank you, eh?
Hey.
So next Sunday, please invite a friend, respond when he's preaching. Come with your paper, come with your pad, and then let's believe God for a miracle.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Now, let's go on. There are three interactive ways by which the Lord comes into our midst. First of all, the Lord comes into our midst by the Holy Spirit. We know that already. We've established that. Because of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, they bear witness in heaven with the Spirit. But God the Spirit is the only one that bears witness here on earth. So if God has to be, his heavenly form has to affect us here on earth, he's only one agent. Only one agent can do that, the Holy Spirit. Only one agent, the Holy Spirit. The rest is the water and the blood. Yes, they affect us. They do their job separately. But I'm talking about the mobile, active, dynamic, everywhere he's going with us. That's the Holy Spirit. How does he interact with us? Three ways. Number one, the Holy Spirit interacts with us by being, he's called the Holy Spirit upon us. Somebody say the Holy Spirit upon us.
The Holy Spirit upon us.
Yes, the Holy Spirit upon us. Upon us. Okay. Number two is the Holy Spirit with us.
The Holy Spirit with us.
With us. And number three is the Holy Spirit inside of us, in us. Three ways to interact. Okay. I'll say it again. The three modes that the Holy Spirit interacts with us. Number one, the Holy Spirit upon us. Number two, the Holy Spirit with us. And number three, the Holy Spirit in us, inside of us. Upon, with, and in. Upon, with, you can say on, with, in. On, with, in. Okay. On, with, in. So when you say up on, say he climbs up on you. Climbs up on you. He's up on you. He's up on you. He's up on you. Now let's go to that part and explain what happens when the Holy Spirit is upon us. What does that mean and what do we do? Now that's also what we call the anointing. When the Holy Spirit is upon somebody, we say that the person is anointed. The person is anointed. And how do we know that? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus Christ said, Paul said of Jesus Christ, okay, that Jesus said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Even Jesus needed anointing, needed to interact with the Spirit. Because, look, whether we like, even if you are God, the principles are the principles. The only person that bears record in heaven and on earth is the Holy Spirit. So when the Jesus comes on earth, he has to interact with the Holy Spirit to be anointed. Yes, because principles are principles. He cannot operate here on earth. Jesus cannot operate on earth except with the Spirit. Yes. That's even God does not operate on earth without the Holy Spirit. So when God was about to create the heaven and earth, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. After creating it, the earth is the earth, the heaven is the heaven.
That's right.
You brought it on earth where only the heaven you can be, you can control there. But the earth, the Holy Spirit has to be there. Mm. And the earth was without form and void.
That's right.
Darkness was on the face
of the deep.
Of the deep, of the waters. Uh-huh. And the Spirit of God moved upon the water. So even the water, the Spirit has to move. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God did not operate on this earth without the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ did not operate on the earth without the Holy Spirit. I'm surprised that you are so great, you don't operate with the Holy Spirit. I'm surprised. Now I understand why you are weak. I understand why you are powerless.
Wow.
Now I understand. God dared not operate supernaturally on earth without the Holy Spirit. Not even Jesus Christ operated on this earth without the Holy Spirit. And you have come, small man like you and me. You don't, you see, that's what the devil does. He takes away the most important in a subtle way. Today, he disgraces the Lord thy God in the midst of thee through the Holy Spirit will be mighty in your life.
Amen.
Amen. So,
Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You are powerless without the Holy Ghost. And what did he do? Who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil? For what? God was with him. God was with the Lord God in the midst of us is mighty. Because he interacted with the Holy Spirit. Look at what it was said. God was with him. It only took his interaction. He was Jesus. But he was not anointed until God anointed Jesus with the The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
And that manifested him with power. And immediately he went about. You are going to be going about to do good. Only good things will be done.
Amen.
And to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. From today, with you and the Holy Spirit, the devil will never be able to affect you.
Amen.
Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Suddenly, God, in the midst of him, was mighty. Ladies and gentlemen, think about it. That is the reason why you think I'm powerful. It's not that I should be more powerful than you, but you don't interact with the Holy Spirit. From today, you will be more powerful in Jesus' name.
I believe it.
Yes. That's why Benihin looks powerful. He's reaching a book called what? Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Every morning, he says good morning to the Holy Spirit.
Good morning, Holy Spirit.
Good morning, Holy Spirit. Yonggi Cho, he's built the biggest church in the whole world. He wrote a book, Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. That's how come they look great. They are as human as you are. So the first one is the Spirit upon us. It's called the anointing. What does he do? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he comes upon you with, he gives you power. He makes you powerful. He enables you with ability to do things you otherwise could not have done. You lay hands on the sick, they are recovering. As I'm preaching, look at the way you are writing notes. But I don't know anything better than you. Only the Lord God in the midst of me is mighty. I have interacted with the Holy Spirit throughout the night, throughout yesterday, throughout the weeks. And so as I'm speaking, even without notes, when I speak, you are affected. I am doing something humanly impossible, a supernatural. This is not how a doctor speaks. This is not how a doctor speaks. A doctor speaks Tylenol. A doctor speaks
One of those.
A doctor speaks about COVID. A doctor speaks about pneumonia. But look at me. He makes you supernatural. He comes upon you. It's called the anointing.
Hallelujah.
Yes. It's the same thing. It's not in. It's upon you to do something spiritual and supernatural. Just like Brother Kelvin. Brother Kelvin, when he's sitting around here and he has not put the police uniform upon himself, he's as weak as you and I. But when he puts on his police uniform, he puts on the hat and he drives his what is it called?
Police car.
The what?
Podcast.
Yeah, the podcast. And he comes and he's here. You better respect him. When he stops he stops you, you have to stop.
Yes.
Amen.
Bring the handcuffs and he said, bring your hand. You have to. What is it? Is he more powerful than you and I? No. But he is, something is upon him. Because of what he's wearing. Because of what he's called. It's called the anointing in this scripture. He's wearing the uniform that guarantees power. Because of what he's wearing, he's bigger than his human nature. He's bigger than you and I. Because something is upon him. He's got the backing of the whole government. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you've got the backing of God. It's called the anointing. It's called the authority.
Wow.
Keep preaching. I love it. I love it. I love it. Wow.
I put on these things. When I'm praying for my children, I said, look, now begin. I've put on. I've taken off my doctor's. I've seen the green light. I've put on. I've taken off my doctor's white coat. Now I've put on the garb of a priest. Let me lay hands upon you, and they receive, and they are transformed in the name.
I receive it.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything you cannot do, the anointing can give you the ability to do.
Amen.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He will give you the power to do it, and you go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I've seen some of my children. The day they were foolish, they couldn't even do academically well. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the anointing can make you intelligent. Bible calls it the spirit of wisdom. Bible calls it the spirit of knowledge. Bible calls it, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it's called the spirit of might. It makes you great.
That's right.
It's called the spirit of counsel. You imbibe and impart wisdom. You tell people how to. And they say, hey, where did you get all these words? It's the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. The Spirit upon you makes you anointed. Makes you anointed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow.
From today, you'll be anointed to be a shepherd.
Amen.
From today, you'll be anointed to heal the sick.
Amen.
From today, you'll be anointed to preach. From
Amen.
Today, you'll be anointed to read the Bible.
Oh, I receive it.
That were not there will come to you. You'll be anointed to be a good person. The things you couldn't do, even academically, you'll become better in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Wow.
Some positions will come to you because of the anointing.
Wow.
But they won't know. They won't know. Number two of the interaction. So the Holy Spirit interacts with us in the midst of us. Believe God. Say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. When you're having difficulty with things, especially spiritual, call upon him.
Yes, Lord.
The difference. Number two, the Spirit, we said what? That with what? With us or in us?
With us.
Okay. With us. But let me go in us first. The Spirit of God in us is what makes us change. What transforms us. You see, what is inside of you is what makes you. When your spirit leaves, you are dead. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 26. As the spirit is dead, as the body is dead without the spirit, so is faith dead without works. Yeah. So your body is useless without the spirit. Everybody has a different kind of spirit. But when you are born again, the Spirit of God enters you.
Mm.
Now that's the Spirit of God interacting inside of you. The Spirit has entered you. We call it baptism. You are immersed. You are marinated. You are soaked. Your whole being is now controlled by the Spirit.
Wow.
The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 16, and I will become, and will never leave, I will be with you and shall be in you and with you. That is inside of you. Okay? He said, that he may be, James chapter 14, verse 16. I mean, John, sorry. Chapter 14. Is that it? No, this is not it. I'll pray the fact, and then verse 17 says what? He may be with you forever. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they see him not, neither do they know him. But you know him, for he shall dwell with you. That's with you, and shall be inside of you. Wow. With you, in you. I'm coming there, inside of you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the Holy Spirit. Bible says when you are born again, that which is born of the Spirit, flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Spirit enters you and he changes your whole being. You had a demon, you had an evil spirit. Some spirit, the Holy Spirit enters you. That is why when you're born again, in Ezekiel 36, I believe it's 26 or 26, 36, I always confuse them. He says, and I will give you a new heart. A new spirit will I give unto you. Mm-hmm. Yes. He'll give you a new spirit. Beautiful. Beautiful. A new heart also I'll give you. Mm-hmm. And a new spirit will I put within you. I will put a new spirit within you. Amen. And I will take away the stony heart of flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. Then the next verse, verse 27, says, and I'll put my spirit within you. Oh, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall have my and do them. You see, it's the spirit inside you that makes you obedient. That makes you a nice person. That makes you a good person. That transforms you. Now, as you're coming, it's like when somebody is born again and the spirit is inside, you are different. You are transformed. Ladies and gentlemen,
it's true.
The Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. You now bear the fruit of the Spirit from inside. You are baptized. It's just like fish. You know, you become nice when you put fish, you put spices and you marinate it with spices and all these things. My goodness. They taste better. They smell better. They taste better. They look better. Same fish came from the sea dry with nothing, but spice them up. Spice them up, marinate them with a thing, and taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
You know, a Christian that has the Holy Spirit inside tastes better. If you are truly born again and the Spirit inside, you are a nice experience to have around.
Amen.
Yeah, you are a nice person. The Bible calls them Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23, I believe. He calls it, and the fruit of the Spirit are born. When the Spirit enters you for a long time, it bears fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is number one, what? Love. You begin to show love, joy. You are a happy person to be around. You have peace. You are a peaceable person. You have inner peace. Long suffering means patient. You suffer long and yet you are calm. Gentleness. Goodness. What? What's the next one?
Faith.
Faith, that word is faithfulness, loyalty, dependable. Then go on to the next one. Eh? Then meekness, humility, temperance, self-control. Against such, there is no law. If you are married to somebody who has all these characteristics, or your child has all these characteristics, or you are employed by somebody who has this, my goodness, that person is tasty. That person is a nice experience to be around. That's the Holy Spirit. You are seeing the might of the Lord in a person. It's called the baptism. It's called the soaking in. It's called the transformational influence of the Holy Spirit. I can't wait for you to manifest those things. I can't wait to taste of your new self as you interact with the Holy Spirit. I can't wait to talk to you to see the things that come out of you. The words of encouragement. The things. It's like the person is changed. The fish was brought into the sea one way, but after the spices, it's different. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it. So the Holy Spirit upon you anoints you and gives you ability and power. The Holy Spirit inside of you transforms you and gives you a character that makes you different and nice to be with. The word is tasty, tasty, tasty. You are enjoyable. You are enjoyable. There are some of you, when I just like speaking with you, you are enjoyable. I can see the Spirit of God exuding your character, your obedience, your nature, the joy, the love, the generosity, the sincerity, the dependability. All these characteristics, incidentally, they make you prosper.
It's the Lord.
Yeah, it's just like when you employ someone, it's like you've employed the Lord. When you are married, it's like God is the one living with you. Your child, it's like your God, you are having a child who is a little God to you.
Wow.
The nature, it makes you acquire the nature of God. That is what the Spirit inside of you does.
Clap for the Lord. Amen.
And finally, finally, the Spirit of God with you, with you, with you, the Spirit of God with you, with you. That is called the presence of God with you. Now, the first part, the Spirit is not inside you. He comes upon you. So there are things that I'm doing when I'm called to preach in a place and anointing comes upon me to preach. Now, I'm here, anointing comes upon me. When I have to meet the whole lay world moving, another anointing comes upon me. It's a different thing. Anointings come for different things. Now, when you are changed, you are changed. You are changed. The Spirit is inside you. It changes you because your very core is different. It's God in us. God living inside of you, within you. So you can't take that something. You see, anointing may not be working at this time, but as for your nature, I see that it is golden like yellow. Yeah, your nature, you become a golden type of person. Very valuable, high quality person. Transformed into a beautiful, tasty, valuable, high, expensive type of quality person. If we were to sell you, God forbid, you'll be priceless. Very valuable.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a value that is added on you when the Spirit of God enters inside of you. That's why when we take the Spirit of God, you take the Word of God, you are in prayerful mode, you are in worship mode, you are, oh my goodness, you are born again, you are different.
A sweet experience.
It's a sweet, you become a sweet experience. I call it a tasty Christian. You are nice to be with.
Hey.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, we would have eaten you because you are too nice. How nice you are. There are people that they may not look nice physically, but you like them because of what is inside of them.
Wow.
Yes. May you become one such person in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of God called. The Spirit with you, call the presence. Bible says, and he shall be with you and shall be inside of you. Call the presence of God. That one is not you. You don't worry. It's not on you. It's not in you. But he's with you. He's where you are. Have you noticed that there are some people, when they arrive, it's like they didn't come alone. When Daniel was in the lion's den, the lions could not eat him. When the three Hebrew boys were put in the fire, Bible says there was somebody else with them whose nature was like the Son of God. It's called the presence of God. Wherever you go, there was a time I was going to preach in Rwanda and in other places. The pastor kept calling me, "What are you bringing?" I said, "What do you mean?" When I went there, he explained. He said, "You announced you were coming here. Every day, angels come here. Every day, somebody sees angels. It's called the presence of God. He's with you wherever you go. Yeah. That's what makes you. Yeah. An accident takes place and suddenly you are retrieved. You wonder what is going on. It's the presence of God. That's what brings peace around you. In the midst of plenty, in the midst of turmoil, the presence of God. The presence of God. The presence of God. It's a presence that only people who are around you can see. You know, those days, you will realize that Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, the Bible says Moses was going. He said, "Lord, who have you sent with me?" Go and read the whole chapter. "Who have you sent with me? These people are difficult." And you sent, and just God's response, I think in verse 14, says that, "Don't worry, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." He said, "My presence will go with you." It's not on Moses. It's not in Moses, but it's with Moses, and I will give you rest. Then the next verse, Moses said, "Lord," and he said to him, "If your presence does not go with me, then take us up not hence." You should be desperate for the presence of God to challenge God. "And Lord, I'm going for this interview. I'm only going because of your presence. I'm going for this exam. I am going, I'm counting on your presence. The Lord, your presence means everything to me." That is why people who like the presence of God, they don't like, even when nobody is there, they will not fornicate. They will not do anything evil because they are afraid to lose the presence of God, who is so powerful. It comes to people who try to live a holy life. They do their best that wherever you go, the scripture comes to you in Proverbs 15 verse 3. "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil." Such people, when they come, they are not alone. Angels are with them. They don't grieve their spirit by their sins. They don't grieve their spirit by the behavior pattern, the way you talk to people, the way the things that people do before they come to it, you'll be surprised. When they were preaching like this on a Zoom, inside of one of the Zoom, the person had turned off the Zoom and then just listening to the message. The person was sleeping with somebody's wife in the service. No fear. Why would the presence of God be with you?
No fear.
Forgive.
Yeah. So you may be born again. The Spirit is inside you. You may even be anointed. The Spirit will be on you, but the presence is special. It's special. He makes you to see things and to see effects. Wow. That is when the Bible says that when the Israelites were going, everybody was afraid of them. Everywhere they went, they were led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Nobody could attack them. They walked through a small nation and they conquered Egypt with plagues. It's the presence of God.
That's right.
The presence of God. It is something that you need to cultivate by your habit of valuing God's presence. Look, one time, a certain lady, when I was in medical school, you know, a certain nurse, I did practical, and the nurse followed me to my room. As she was going, I knew what was going to happen. Yay. Yeah. And I said, oh, my God, help me, help me. I would say, help me. The nurse would be going. I said, oh, you, let's go and watch television. By the time I realized we're in my room. By the time I realized we're in my bed.
Hey. Mercy.
I tell you. By the time I realized we're naked.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, as it was just time to ultimately take control of what was rightfully mine in quotes. I just told myself, no, Lord, your presence is so vital. I cannot, just for a 30-second period of ecstasy, I cannot do this and miss your presence. I told the lady, put on your pants and get out of here. Never come here again. I still remember that day, like day and night. That was Joseph. Bible says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, Joseph was lured by Potiphar's wife to say, come and sleep with me. And then Joseph said in verse 9 or 10, he said that, how can I do this wickedness? And sin. He said this, there is none greater than me in the house. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Wow. Sin against God. That was Joseph. He ran away, but he refused. The Bible says Joseph refused and said to the master, behold, I will not do. And then he ran away, and the master wife pulled the garment and lied about Joseph. So Joseph was put in prison. But it's better to be in the prison than to lose. But in the prison, the presence of God was still with him. He prospered in the prison.
Man.
He was blessed in the prison until he was taken out to Pharaoh's headquarters, the palace, where he was second to Pharaoh. It was all the presence of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 39, I believe it's verse 3 or verse 4, he said, and everything Joseph did prospered because God was with him. He said, and his mother saw that the Lord was with him, the presence, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Ladies and gentlemen, this third and most important aspect. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. And he was, this guy was prosperous in everything. It's the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit who you acknowledge so much that Joseph said, I will not sleep with this girl. And just like I said, I will not do this evil thing. Can you be able to say that and see the presence to prosper you?
Wow.
Yeah. Supernatural prosperity comes by the agency of the presence of God. But many of us don't value it. We value church. We value people. We don't like people to see how evil. But in our secret places, we just get rid of God's presence. We just sack him. We just grieve him. The place is quiet now. But that is why the presence is there. So you have the anointing. You are a good shepherd. You are a good preacher. You are good this. It's upon you. You are a Christian. You've taken the Spirit. God will not take it away from you. So you're born again. But
Do you have his presence?
Mercy, Lord.
Or are you alone? Are you alone in that exam? Are you alone in that job? Are you alone in that house? When you are alone and you do things that people who are alone do, the Lord never comes to you with his presence. Do things as if God is there all the time. Respect his presence. Don't grieve him. Respect him enough to say that God sees what I'm doing. I'm cheating on this tithe. Nobody is here to know that 10% was $100. But God sees his presence is important. Be like Joseph and see his presence make you mighty to live a supernatural life. A refugee, castrated, sold slave like Joseph. How can he become a vice president except by the presence of God? How can they tell me that this place is only for citizens, yet they included me and changed their constitution to include people like me, except the presence of God? You want to live a supernatural life? Respect the witness. The Holy Spirit is witness to everything. He comes in his, with us. He comes in us. He comes upon us. Do you want him? Bible says, the word became flesh and dwelt among men, and they beheld his glory in a way that only the Son can do. Today, from now, we will behold your life. We will see things that the only testimony we can do is that it's God with you. May you respect his presence. May you respect his power. May you respect his grace. In the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hand on your heart right now. Don't move. Don't move. I want to pray with you. Very important moment. Very important moment. Very important moment. Put your hand on your heart. Oh, next week, Apostle Joel is coming here. Remember, next week, come with somebody. Father, I pray. I've prayed. I've spoken your word. Father, we know the difference. How frustrating it is to live without you. Solomon gave up on your spirit and he was frustrated in life in Ecclesiastes. He gave up. He looked for fulfillment on every place. He never found it. But your son, David, he kept it. And in the last day, Bible says he died full of age, prosperity, good old age. I pray that we will all respect your presence. We will respect your Holy Spirit. We will speak in tongues, both in private and in the open. We will regard you whether or not people have seen us. That pornography, that sin, that stealing, that cheating, that drives away your presence. Oh God, that not talking to you, that takes away. Because of that, we get the anointing. We don't interact with the man of God that you've given the anointing enough to get the anointing. From today, transform us. Transform everybody. I pray, forgive every sin that we have sinned. Forgive every disregard for your presence that has made us so lonely and frustrated and desolate in life, as if we are not meant to live a supernatural life. Today we take our place and we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. Change us. Make us prayerful. Make us worshipful. Even in this service, may we respect your presence. When we wake up, may we respect your word to do our quiet time. Even when nobody is there, may we pray. Amen. And Lord, may you manifest your power for a supernatural life in the lives of everyone here, without exception. The children, the adults. As the children go to school, transform them. Amen. Let them see a difference between this academic year and the other, even though COVID is there. Show them your supernatural power. Let jobs see your supernatural power. Let marriages experience your supernatural power. Let our health experience your supernatural touch.
Yes, Lord.
Make a huge difference. May we not trade your presence for anything, even if it's going to cost us our position. Like Joseph, may we stand our ground so that you will prove that you can give us even a higher standing. We bless your name. If you are here, you are hearing me. You want to give your life to Jesus. You feel sinful that you let the spirit, the situation take over you and you lost the presence. God is saying, I'm going to restore. You want to be born again, or you are already born again, but you want to rededicate your life because you've seen some things you did wrong and you want to restructure your life. God says, I'm here to do exactly that. He says, like the prodigal son, he loves you.
He wants to put his clothes on you. He wants to make you his own again. He wants to assign his sonship back to you. And he wants to live with you just like the prodigal son lived in the father's house. He wants to live inside of you again. He's coming back. His presence is coming. He's going to give you rest. Put your hand on your heart and say this after me. For those who have been born again and for those who want to rededicate, say this. Say, Almighty Father.
Almighty Father.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
But especially for your Holy Spirit.
But especially for your Holy Spirit.
That you gave to me.
That you gave to me.
From now.
I understand.
The Lord my God in the midst of me is mighty.
The Lord my God in the midst of me is mighty.
I will bring you in the center of everything I do.
I will bring you into the center of everything I do.
You are the Holy Spirit.
You are the Holy Spirit.
You are my friend from today.
You are my friend from today.
You are my helper from today.
You are my helper from today.
Your presence is important to me.
Your presence is important to me.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Wash me.
Wash me.
In the blood of Jesus Christ.
In the blood of Jesus Christ.
I believe Jesus is the Christ.
I believe Jesus is Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
He died for my sins.
He died for my sins.
And sent me his Holy Spirit.
In his own place.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
I will talk with the Holy Spirit.
I receive the anointing. I will value your presence. So that I can live a supernatural life. I know that you are real.
I know that you are real.
The problem has been me.
The problem has been you.
But I'm changing from today. So help me, God.
So help me, God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Somebody's been healed. Somebody's sick. Wherever you are sick, put your hand there. The Holy Spirit is here. He said he wants to demonstrate his presence. He said he wants to prove that this preaching is correct. Somebody is sick. Somebody has been wondering about your disease. It could be diabetes. It could be high blood pressure. It could be arthritis. It could be your eye. It could be your ear. It could be any part of your body. God is healing you. Believe God for his presence. Father, let your presence glorify your name. Let the Holy Spirit do that mighty work. Your word says you heal. Deliver from the power of the enemy. Bring healing balm from Gilead to heal all your children. Those that have been in contact with COVID, I cancel every pathology in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Block out every entry point in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Thank you for divine healing.
Amen.
And your power in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.